The Punchline, Chapter 3 of Thank You Fix Round 4 by Saber CMC, read by CookieMom6067. This is a prank. Steve stared down at the small scroll of paper lying on the white tablecloth, where it sat half curled like some horrible fortune he had just pulled out of the world's worst cookie. The black ring box that once held the paper sat next to Steve's half-empty wine glass. He was still trying to process the last few minutes. At the time, it had seemed as if it was happening in slow motion, like one of those car crashes in the movies where it all ended in a sudden explosion. His heart was still pounding. He thought he might throw up, which, all things considered, would probably be the perfect cap to the evening. It had been such a shock, that was the thing. If Steve had even a few minutes to think it through, he may have realized what was going on. May have caught a glint in Brock's eye, a slight smirk, something off about the whole thing. Besides the obvious being that Brock didn't want to get married. Not yet, anyway, and Steve knew that. They had talked about it before, after all, plenty of times. And he couldn't say that Brock wasn't upfront about not being ready, just because it had been 5 years. Part of that time had been while they were still in the army, so it hardly counted anyway. He knew Brock wasn't ready for that kind of commitment yet, and they just talked about it not even a week ago. But in his stupid brain, when Brock got down on one knee and held up the box, he thought that had been all part of the plan. The big surprise. Well, it had been a surprise, he supposed. He could give Brock that much. He'd been fooled. Been a fool, whatever. He stared at the piece of paper, not wanting to touch it. The whole day had been a surprise, truly, though a pleasant one, at least up until a few minutes ago. Breakfast in bed, a visit to the MoMA, though the special exhibit of the Stark Collection Works was sold out, a walk through Central Park, admittedly not quite the carriage ride that Steve had been trying to get him to do for ages, and that Brock always said was a dumb waste of money and cliched romantic bullshit, even though Steve had offered to pay. But it was something, way more than what Brock would usually want to do, which typically involved hanging out with the guys from his unit, hitting a club, or watching UFC on pay-per-view. Then dinner at this ridiculously fancy restaurant that was way, way out of their usual budget of DoorDashed Thai food and a few slices from Gianni's on the corner. It had been a good day. He had been enjoying himself, feeling like, okay, yeah, maybe this could work. Maybe he'd misjudged Brock a bit or been too demanding because, look, his boyfriend had been paying attention. He noticed. He cared about what Steve wanted. Proof was happening right before Steve's eyes that he hadn't been wrong about all of this, no matter what Bucky said. Honestly, he should have seen this coming. He really should have. The whole day he'd thought how different Brock seemed. But he just figured Brock was a bit out of his element. If he hadn't been so blinded by idiotic romantic notions, he would have realized something was up a long time before seeing those awful, mocking words on the paper he pulled from the ring box. Brock liked his pranks, after all. All the guys did, except Steve, which was probably why he was usually the butt of the joke. Brock liked to say, for a gay man, Steve made a great straight man, since he didn't seem to ever quite get what was so funny to everyone else about the jokes they told and so-called pranks they liked to pull. If he'd thought about it at all and not been caught up in the romance of it all like his life was some kind of Lifetime movie, he would have realized that none of this today was really at all like Brock. Really, some of this shit show was on him for being so stupidly oblivious. He could admit his own part in this. It had just felt so nice, for once, to be catered to feel special. Sure, it was cliché, he knew that. And no, he didn't need grand gestures. That wasn't what a relationship was about. He knew that, too. It had been nice. Real nice. Until it wasn't. When Brock brought out the ring box, he thought, well, he hadn't thought. He just stupidly said yes before Brock even got all the way through opening the box. Even seeing the paper inside, Steve's first thought had been that maybe it was a sweet note or a promise for a ring later when they could afford it. In retrospect, neither of those options sounded remotely like Brock. But in the moment, he'd just been so excited, so validated. Bucky, Sam, Thor, Nat, they were all wrong about Brock. Steve wasn't just some placeholder so Brock didn't have to fool with dating while having someone to share expenses and have sex with. He was serious about Steve. He did care. He just wasn't great at showing it. Some people weren't. That was okay. But he did. "Look, we're engaged," he would tell them. Couldn't have more proof of someone being serious than that. "Aw, man, you should see your face." Steve wondered what his face had looked like then. What it looked like now. Blotchy, pale, and puffy from the few tears he hadn't been able to hold inside, probably. He was embarrassing himself, blubbering like a kid here at this white tablecloth place with food that had what Steve thought was probably unnecessary amounts of foam in it. He had embarrassed himself, embarrassed both of them. At least that was what Brock had said when he was trying to get Steve to calm down and not cause a scene. But calming down wasn't on the agenda, it turned out. And somehow Steve's demands to know why Brock would do this to him, why he would humiliate him like this, had turned into it being all Steve's fault for not having a sense of humor, for not playing along, taking it like a man, instead of falling apart. Steve had tried to keep it together as best he could. They were in a public place, after all, and a nice one at that. He couldn't exactly chuck his plate at Brock's head like he wanted to when Brock told him to lighten up. But now, sitting here alone after Brock stomped off, pissed at Steve for making a big deal out of what he called just a joke and ruining the night, Steve was pretty sure his face looked like he'd been hit by the proverbial 2x4. He knew what shock was, what it felt like. It just usually took an IED to get to it, not his boyfriend playing a prank. "Excuse me, sir," a voice next to Steve said. "Huh?" Steve blinked up at the black-clad waiter. "Are you ready for the bill?" the waiter asked politely but pointedly. "Yes, thanks," Steve replied. The waiter put a silver tray with a receipt on top down in front of Steve. Behind it, the small piece of paper sat, with its words glaring mockingly up at Steve. "This was a prank." Steve sighed. His whole life felt like a prank right at the moment. Some great cosmic joke that led him to this moment. He scanned the bill, swallowed hard, and closed his eyes. He wondered, if he just made a run for it, could the night truly get any worse? Non-engaged man tackled trying to dine and dash. Made for delightful reading. Can I... Steve began, turning to catch the waiter's attention. "Can I split the bill between cards?" "Of course, sir, not a problem. Shall I split it in half between the two?" Steve paged through the cards in his wallet. "How about between 6? The waiter blinked down at him, licked his lips, and straightened. "Of course," he said, with a slight nod, and reached out to gingerly take the stack of cards from Steve's outstretched hand. "So, things can get worse," Steve thought to himself. Good to know. Good information to have. His nerves felt jittery. He kept clasping and unclasping his hands. He ran a hand through his hair, wincing slightly as the waiter turned away with the cards and little silver tray with the bill in his hand. His eyes landed on the piece of paper again. He should throw it away. But for whatever reason, he still couldn't bring himself to touch it again. "Throw that on mine, would you, Patrick?" another voice said, and the table shook slightly as a man sat down in what had been Brock's seat. He looked vaguely familiar to Steve, though Steve was certain he had never met the man before, or he would definitely remember it. Handsome, dark-haired, perfectly trimmed goatee, impeccably tailored suit, and kind eyes, Steve thought rather dazedly, almost as if they didn't quite fit with anything else you initially took in about the man. "Right away," the waiter said, and carefully deposited the tray with Steve's credit cards back in front of him. "What? Who? But..." Steve stammered. "No, wait, I can't let..." he started. watching helplessly as the waiter walked off, utterly ignoring the hand he raised to try to get the man's attention. Steve's head swiveled back to the man across from him. "Sir, that's very nice of you, but I can't let you do that, really. Honestly, you're killing me with this. I can't watch anymore. It's too depressing. You got those big, sad eyes like Bambi when someone shot his mom," the man told him, sounding somewhat exasperated by his own description. The man paused, leaned forward, head tilted to one side, elbows propped up on the table as he regarded Steve. He made a low sound, then huffed, and grabbed for the piece of paper before Steve could manage to accept the fact that a strange man was sitting across from him, comparing him to an animated deer. "Hey, that's..." Steve started to protest. "This is a prank," the man read aloud, each word cutting, made somehow worse by the man's clipped tone. "Wow, what an ass." He likes to make jokes," Steve said, self-consciously rubbing at the back of his neck. "It was just a joke." He didn't know why he was defending Brock after tonight, except that accepting the man's words meant that Steve was dating an ass, that he was the kind of idiot who would date someone like that for 5 years, and that... He sighed. "Yeah, okay. So, what's funny about this?" the man asked. "Look, I appreciate the check thing. I do, really, but..." Steve frowned. "But now I'm just some weird guy butting into your life?" the man replied in a speculative tone. "Well, kind of," Steve admitted, giving the man a questioning look. "Seems to me that you need someone to butt into your life," the man responded evenly, a slight smile playing on his lips. "It's fine, really. It's not a big deal," Steve insisted. "Besides, while I do appreciate the concern and all, I can take care of myself," Steve insisted. "Sure, but where's the fun in that?" the man asked, then smiled as if he knew it was all absurd. "I'm Tony, by the way, and you're Steve, who talks passionately about art and history and baseball, who is deeply mistrustful of the military-industrial complex, which is going to be interesting, by the way, but has an almost annoying but somehow not remarkable, I don't know, idealism about people that makes you believe we can actually make the world better, who loves his friends and thinks the best of them, but won't give himself the same grace, and who is, and I'm not judging here, it's kind of adorable with the whole beefcake thing you have going, a complete and total hopeless romantic, or hopeful romantic, I guess I should say. I'm not. Steve laughed nervously, the man making him utterly tongue-tied. "How would you even..." "Not that it's accurate, but I was listening to your conversation. Awful habit, I know. But I was bored, and you were all... Do you really think Eisenhower was wrong about the potential rise of the military-industrial complex and its effect on the power structure in a democratic republic?" And I practically swooned. "Your boyfriend asked who you'd rather tap, Iceman or Maverick, in response, by the way, which I'll admit is a valid line of inquiry, but probably not the conversation you were hoping to have. Though fair question, and there's really only one answer," the man continued. "Tony," he'd said his name was Tony, Steve reminded himself. "Maverick," Steve said, at the same time Tony said, "which is obviously Iceman." "Huh. Interesting. Can't say I'm disappointed with that answer." They stared at each other across the table. Steve suddenly found himself laughing, trying to cover it with his hand. But it was all just so ridiculously absurd. "That's a good look on you," Tony said quietly. "You should maybe try finding someone who makes you look like that." "As opposed to an animated orphan baby deer?" Steve asked, mouth curving as he tried not to smile, which was hard because this whole conversation made the evening's farce seem even more ludicrous. "I've been called a lot of things, but that's a new one." "With the big, sad eyes," Tony added for emphasis. "Seriously, I just wanted to send over some ice cream and suggest we ritualistically torch his belongings, which I'm assuming consists mainly of NASCAR-related memorabilia, a framed Fight Club poster, and condoms that are at least a size too big." A burst of laughter escaped Steve before he could cover it, half because this random stranger would say something so outrageously inappropriate, and half because, well, that wasn't entirely too far off. I got at least one of those right, didn't I? Tony asked, eyes narrowing on Steve as he leaned back in the plush seat. Betting it was the condom thing, he muttered teasingly, half under his breath. No comment, Steve said. A man of discretion, I see, Tony nodded. Understood. He winked at Steve. Steve chuckled again, shaking his head at the surreality of the moment. Listen, Tony, thank you, really, for the check thing first. I'll pay you back, Steve added. That's adorable, Tony said. I do understand your skepticism, Steve replied with a slight smile as he shuffled the stack of credit cards back into his wallet, but I swear I'm good for it. Funnily enough, I believe you, Tony told him. Second for coming over here and... Steve spread his hands helplessly over the table. Inserting myself into your life at what was probably one of your lowest moments, Tony suggested gently, a hint of apology in his voice. Making me laugh and not think about everything for a few minutes at least, Steve corrected. I don't know why you did that, and I should probably be... Annoyed at the intrusion, Tony suggested mildly. Probably, Steve agreed. But you're not, Tony pointed out. Honestly, at the moment I just don't have it in me to care, Steve said. Fair, Tony told him. Look, Steve, may I offer you some perspective from experience? Well, you did save me from my plan to crawl out the bathroom window and drop from the fire escape to the dumpster if one of those cards declined, so I guess that's a decent trade-off, Steve replied. Solid plan, Tony nodded, sounding impressed. Not my first time, Steve replied with a grin, shrugging as he leaned back and crossed his arms. I was a lot scrawnier last time, though, he explained. 90 pounds of something to prove, or so my mom said. I'm trying to picture this, Tony said, glancing up and pursing his lips speculatively. I grew, Steve said. This explains so much, Tony replied. It doesn't, Steve insisted. Tony shot him a droll look. You get hassled a lot when you were young and skinny? Sure, Steve admitted. Got beat up in the alley 2 blocks from here twice. Guys who beat you up remind you of anyone? Tony asked, his voice soft. He rolled his lip between his teeth, contemplating Steve, giving Steve a moment to catch up and looking a bit apologetic, like he knew he'd pushed it too far. And he had. That wasn't true, what Tony was saying. That wasn't... Steve shook his head. No, that's not... No, what are you, some kind of shrink? Steve demanded. Look, I don't know who you are or what you think you know, but you don't know me, okay? You don't know anything about me. You can't just come over here just because you've got money or whatever and... Whoa, calm down, Tony urged, holding his hands out in front of him. I'm not trying to judge you here, Steve, or... Look, I know you're embarrassed. I get it, okay? I do. Believe me, I really do. Experience, remember? This was a shit situation. Not your fault, but you feel like absolute crap. Tony grimaced, leaning back and splaying his hands before seeming to force them to settle in his lap. I'm trying to help. Why? Steve demanded. This has nothing to do with you. Because, Tony sucked in a breath, peering across the table at Steve, because I've been where you are, and I had someone who helped me, he continued in a gentle voice, tight with emotion. You were just sitting here, looking like a kicked puppy. I wanted to help. Anyone who knows me would probably say that's not a great idea, but I don't know. I couldn't just walk away and leave you to it. If you want me to now... I will. I'm really not trying to be a prick here, Steve, I swear. I'm just very, very good at that, and it's hard to avoid even when I try. He offered a soft, regretful smile, waited a moment. Okay, so I'll go. No, Steve interjected quickly. No, it's fine. You're not being a prick. Kind of am, Tony said. Really, thank you for the bill and trying to help, Steve said. I'm just... He broke off, shaking his head. I just kind of want to go find the bottom of a bottle and sleep off whatever this was tonight. Maybe I'll wake up in the morning and none of this actually happened. That is an impulse that I definitely get, Tony told him. But don't do that. Trust me, it doesn't help. Not really. Tony, Steve began. You didn't do anything wrong tonight, Tony cut in, talking over him. Really, you didn't. I know you think you did, but you didn't. This isn't on you, my friend. It really isn't. You're probably kicking yourself for not seeing this coming, telling yourself you should have known. All your friends told you, right? Mm-hmm, he murmured at Steve's last sigh. You feel used, taken for a ride. And it's way worse than just being hated, isn't it? That moment when you realize the person you cared about, the person you put all this time and effort into, doesn't even really like you very much. Tony paused, drawing in a breath. Like if he'd just broken it off, fine, but this was cruel, humiliating, and he doesn't care about any of that. Hell, that was the point. Steve stared at him, his eyes stinging, and swallowed hard, dropping his gaze. For a long time, he just stared at it, the clinking of glasses, scrape of forks on plates, chatter of the dinner guests, all sort of muted behind the buzzing in his ears. Yeah, he admitted shakily, the world abruptly startling back to normal. His eyes locked on the piece of paper Tony had discarded on the table. He couldn't see the words anymore, but he knew what they said. He didn't think he would ever forget them. They were seared into his brain and kept popping up behind his vision, overlaying all of his thoughts. Tony was right, though. The look on his face when he saw what the paper said, that was what Brock had wanted, what he craved. The pain, the cruelty, the shame, that was the point. People in love could do awful things to each other, maybe, but no one who liked him would ever do that. I don't think he ever really liked me very much, Steve said softly. When he pulled his gaze up, Tony's eyes were filled with understanding and sorrow that managed somehow not to be pitying, something for which Steve was absurdly grateful. About 2 years ago, Tony started, somewhat haltingly at first, then steadily monotone, as if he was reciting something from memory. On the day I was supposed to get married, my assistant informed me that my fiancé was stealing proprietary technology from my company, or trying to anyway. Wasn't sure I'd ever see anything shittier until tonight. At least he was doing it for good old-fashioned profit. Tony huffed derisively. I'm so sorry, Tony, Steve said, frowning and shaking his head. That's awful. It also sounded oddly familiar, though it was probably just similar to a plot from a book or movie. Tony's life sounded far more exciting than Steve's, though maybe not the kind of excitement anyone would really crave. I remember that feeling of wanting the floor to just open up right then and there. I blamed myself, of course, because why had I thought I deserved that kind of happiness anyway? Why did I believe he could really love someone like me, and that it wasn't about other things? Tony asked, mouth twisting. That's absolutely not fair to you at all, though, Steve hissed, chest puffing with shock and anger on Tony's behalf. Of course you deserve happiness. Just because that guy was a asshole, Tony offered. Bad person who didn't deserve you, Steve said firmly. Doesn't mean you don't deserve love, Tony. You have to know that. It wasn't your fault. Steve looked across the table at Tony, the kind stranger who had suddenly dropped into his life at his lowest moment, and felt righteous indignation on Tony's behalf brimming inside him. Marrying someone just to steal from them? For money? Using someone who was clearly generous and giving like Tony seemed the absolute lowest of the low, like stealing from a children's cancer charity low. That was way worse than Brock's stupid joke, in Steve's opinion, and it was crazy that Tony didn't see it that way. You do see what I'm about to do here? Tony asked, raising his brows in question as he leaned forward over the table and picked up one of the wine glasses, swaying it back and forth in his hand. Steve sighed and flattened his mouth into a thin line. I walked into that, didn't I? Like there was a little breadcrumb trail and you were a German child with a candy fetish, and a surprising willingness to commit property damage. I do appreciate the absolutely justified and not at all projected anger on my behalf. Don't get me wrong, Tony said, putting the wine glass down and holding out his palms. He smiled at Steve. He has a nice smile, Steve noticed. He started and cleared his throat, dropping his forearm onto the edge of the table hard enough to make the leftover glasses bounce. Why was he noticing that? Tony's smile was irrelevant. It was nice, though. It was nice to be smiled at, Steve realized. Genuinely, sincerely smiled at. Not mocked or smirked at or laughed at. He blinked rapidly, shaking his head slightly to clear his thoughts. Okay, point taken, Steve agreed, giving Tony a pained smile of his own. Thank you, really, for everything. You didn't have to. Most people wouldn't. They'd just, I don't know, look away or whatever. Pretend they didn't notice. Secondhand embarrassment, I guess, or maybe no one wants to get involved these days, so they just pretend they didn't see anything. Go about their business. People are, they're real good at that, you know? Bet you're not, Tony said, mouth pursing a bit in contemplation. 90 pounds of something to prove. He made the description sound like a question, and Steve supposed it was. I'm not, yeah. Steve huffed out a slight laugh, then chewed at his lower lip, his stomach doing a weird fluttery thing. Guess you aren't either. I used to be, Tony told him, managing to make it sound like an apology he certainly didn't owe to Steve. I don't believe that, Steve insisted. Truth be told, he had no idea who Tony really was or what he was like, but it didn't feel true. No offense, Bambi, but you might be a terrible judge of character, Tony pointed out with a mild sort of amusement. Fair, fair, Steve nodded, dipping his head with a low laugh. Look, this was, I don't know what this was. Crazy. Yeah, crazy, I think, he shrugged. But thank you. Maybe I needed a little crazy after whatever that was with Brock. He stopped for a moment, letting the words hang. Tony was watching him intently, though his expression was strangely soft. He's always liked to joke around, pull pranks, that kind of thing. I never thought he'd do something that mean, though. I really didn't. I knew he wasn't perfect, but... He broke off, shaking his head. I really didn't think he was that bad. Let me guess. Going out on a limb here, I know, but extrapolating from the data collected over dinner tonight, I'm going to say that these jokes and pranks, they were mostly at your expense? Tony asked carefully. I know, Steve replied, rubbing his head, his face pinching into a pained expression. I should have seen it. It's hard to see when you don't think you deserve better, Tony said, his voice slightly rough. You can do better than not that bad, though. Yeah, Steve sighed. Steve, you deserve better, Tony told him. Do I need to try mime next? I will. And that will be on you, Steve. Think of the 9 French children. No, no, Steve said, holding up his hands in surrender. I get it. Total agreement. I deserve better. Please don't mime, he said with a laugh, pausing for a moment to chew on his lip. Thanks, Tony, really, for everything. I still don't really understand why, but thank you. I mean it. And you deserve better. So much better, Tony, really, than that jerk of an ex-fiancé, Steve stammered, suddenly finding his tongue tied in his mouth, the words seemingly struggling to get out. You're really nice. You should, you know, be with someone nice, too, he finished lamely. Sounds fake, but okay, Tony grinned. It's not fake. I'm serious. You do. You really do deserve someone good who appreciates you, Steve corrected firmly, leaning forward. For some reason, it was suddenly vitally important that Tony understand this point. For you, then, only nice guys from here on out cross my heart, Tony agreed, sending Steve a slightly wobbly smile, as if he was surprised by something. Now it's getting late, and I should let you get home. Speaking of, do you have a place to go? Oh, gosh, Tony. I'm sorry I've kept you. I lost track of the time, and Steve winced, feeling a blush rush to stain his cheeks. Not a problem, and you didn't keep me, remember? I butted in, made inappropriate assumptions based on eavesdropping, and then offered advice about your love life, as one does, Tony reminded him. I can give you a lift if you'd like. No, I can't ask you to do that, Steve protested. It's too much, Tony, but thank you. It's really no trouble. Where are you headed? Tony asked. Trust me and learn from my experience. Now is not a good time to hash it out with dumbass. Do you have someplace else you can stay for a bit? Did you hash it out with your dumbass right away? Steve asked, curious. There was much manly ugly crying, Tony admitted, followed by much manly drinking and even more manly calling of lawyers. All in all, thumbs down on the whole experience. Well, my best friend Bucky, he's got a place in Brooklyn he shares with some other friends, Steve told him, considering his options. I'm sure I could crash on their couch for a bit. Great, Tony said. Come on, let's get you home. I can just get a cab, Steve argued, though Tony just hummed in response and waved a hand in the air. I don't want to trouble you. Really, not more than I have already anyway. Steve, you are no trouble, Tony said, glancing over at him as they stood. Steve wasn't quite sure why, maybe because he didn't want the wait staff to see it, but he reached over and picked up the piece of paper with Brock's message on it and shoved it into his pocket. But if you'd rather a cab, Tony was saying, instead of the car of random guy you just met a few minutes ago, who is definitely not a serial killer, by the way. Exactly what a serial killer would say, Steve gamely pointed out. A Matchbox 20 fan or a Republican, Tony continued, though his mouth quirked up into a smile. Just a guy wanting to take a guy to another guy's home for the night. Wait, that's... Steve laughed, really laughed, for the first time in a long time. He tossed his jacket over his arm, sweeping his arm out wide in front of him. How can I turn down that kind of offer? He asked. To be fair, I'm really hard to turn down, Tony said. I can see that. Steve agreed, grinning. That fluttery feeling was back, making Steve's stomach leap and his chest tighten. This was banter, wasn't it? That's what this was. They were bantering. Flirting? Yeah, maybe, Steve acknowledged, a rush of something a lot like giddiness hitting him. Maybe a little, which was wild because he had literally just been fake proposed to and he was probably on some kind of emotional roller coaster right now and not thinking clearly. He had no business flirting with anyone, let alone someone like Tony, who was clearly out of his league on Steve's best day. Tony was just, well, he was really handsome. And he was so nice. And yeah, okay, Steve could admit he wasn't in the best headspace right now, after how Brock made him feel utterly worthless half an hour ago, to be thinking what he was thinking, but well, he was thinking it. He couldn't help it. Not that he was going to tumble out of one relationship and into something else, even if Tony was down for something else, which he probably wasn't, especially after seeing what a mess Steve was. Steve wasn't ready for that. He needed time to get his head straight after the number Brock did on him, the number he let Brock do on him. He did not need to develop some kind of weird crush on a handsome stranger just because the guy was nice to him. Still, he followed Tony out of the restaurant, mostly because arguing with Tony was proving entirely ineffectual, and partly because he was hoarding Tony's presence just a bit, because it made him feel good after an absolutely terrible evening. The restaurant emptied them onto a nearby street across from the park. Car horns blared, scooters buzzed, and people dashed across the street to the tune of the ticking crosswalk. It was night, but it was Manhattan, so the city was ablaze as usual, coming alive as if from some slumber. A sleek black car that screamed expensive pulled up at the curb in front of them, and the driver hopped out, running around the front to open the door with an exaggerated flourish. Boss, the driver called out, giving Tony a quick nod. Hap, we're taking the scenic route tonight, Tony said as he approached the driver. Brooklyn, Steve here needs a ride to an entirely platonic, he emphasized, turning to raise his brows at Steve, friend's apartment. Steve couldn't help but laugh. It was all just so surreal. Come on, Bambi. Tony urged, gesturing towards the car's tan leather interior. Your carriage awaits. It was stupid, really. The little squeeze thing Steve's heart did. It was just a saying. It didn't mean anything, except, well, he'd tried so many times to convince Brock to take a carriage ride, cliched and touristy as that may be. He'd always just sort of wanted to do that with his guy, buy some roses from one of the street vendors, get some gelato to go and stroll the park, ride the carousel. Stupid, romantic bullshit, Brock would say. And yeah, okay, some of it was, admittedly. But maybe. If he were the kind to believe in that sort of thing, maybe it could be a sign. Steve wasn't sure if he did believe in all of that. But if he did, well, that was a pretty good sign, wasn't it? Maybe like the universe telling him things would be okay. He'd find someone eventually, someone who wanted to do romantic bullshit with him, or at least indulge Steve if he did. He looked up. Tony smiled at him. Steve's heart did this funny skipping thing, then sped up, like he was running a race. He slid into the car, breathing deep, trying to slow his heart to something approaching a normal rhythm. This was probably all just some kind of leftover emotion from dinner spilling over into, let's face it, completely impossible fantasies. Tony followed him, settling next to the opposite window like he felt obligated to leave a certain amount of space between them, as if Steve really was some kind of scared deer that might bolt with a sudden move, Steve realized, with a sort of bemused expression forming. Where to? The driver asked, as he got into the seat in front of them. Steve called out the address from memory, and soon enough the car was expertly picking its way through traffic. I really can't thank you enough for tonight, Steve said, clasping his hands in his lap, for lack of knowing what else to do with them. He lifted his gaze to Tony, only to find the other man watching him with an unreadable expression. Do you, have, like, a Venmo or something so I can send you the money for dinner? I really don't want you stuck with the bill. That's not fair. In front of them, the driver had some kind of coughing fit, though it passed quickly. When Steve looked back at Tony, he was smiling at Steve in what could have been a condescending way, but somehow managed to just look as if he was utterly charmed in some way by Steve's question. Steve? Tony said. Yes, Steve replied. Do I look like I need you to pay me back for the bill? Tony gently questioned. No, Steve admitted, but it's not right, you paying. You didn't even eat, he argued lamely, frowning at how ridiculous that sounded as soon as the words were out of his mouth. Steve, I assure you, dinner was worth every penny, Tony told him. Steve turned to look out the window, mainly because he had no clue what to say to that. He scraped his hands over his thighs, trying to calm his wayward thoughts. A pang of sadness hit him, making him draw a shuddering breath. Sitting here watching the city go by, with Tony next to him, being so kind, so careful, he kept thinking over and over in his head, 5 years. 5 years of his life. And this is where he ended up, the butt of a joke. It hurt. It hurt so, so much. So much it felt like it would just consume him, now that things were quiet, and the insanity of having someone sit down at the table with him and drag him back from whatever abyss he'd been headed towards. Angrily, he swiped his hand at his eyes and dug into his pocket, pulling out the piece of paper. This is a prank. I know. It hurts like little else does, doesn't it? Tony asked quietly. He pushed a button on the car door and the partition went up, separating them from the driver. It's the betrayal, trust me, he added in a harder voice, then let out a sigh. This is where you tell me it will get better? Steve asked. As a matter of fact, yes, Tony replied. I was just waiting for you to tee it up. He smiled, wagged his head to the side, seeming to acknowledge the awkwardness even as he steamrolled right through it. It will get better, I swear. You're just in the tempest right now. Eye of the storm. Gotta ride it out. Sorry, Steve muttered, drawing in another shaky breath. Nothing to be sorry for, Tony told him. It's just... It was such a good day. right up until it wasn't. We were having a really good day, you know? I thought stupid things. That's what I thought, Steve sighed, dropping his head back to the seat for a moment before lifting it, sighing deeply. 5 years. 5 years, and it was nothing. Nothing. That's what I keep coming back to. It's not stupid to think the best of someone, to want them to be a good person, to want to be loved. None of that is stupid, Steve, Tony told him. Honestly, I'm going to need you to just take my word on that, because seriously, my therapist would be so proud right now, and I don't want you to ruin that moment for them. Wouldn't want to disappoint your therapists, Steve said, huffing out a low laugh. Sorry, I don't mean to dump more emotional baggage on you than I already have, Steve went on, rubbing his hand over his face. Tony was silent for some time, which was good, because it gave Steve a moment to collect himself. I think, looking back, Tony began, I was willing to settle in order to not be alone, which is odd because I always figured I would be alone. But then I met someone, and at first he was great, everything I thought I wanted. So then, when he wasn't so great later on, I had these memories of when he was, and I thought, well, it's me. It's me, right? Has to be me, because I know he's a great guy. I must be doing something wrong here. God knows I don't have a great track record with relationships. Clearly it's me, and that's why he's saying these things, snapping little things, really. He doesn't have off days, right? I let all of it go right up until my assistant practically forced me to face what he was doing. And then I looked back and wondered how I even got to where I was. How did I let so much slip by me? Yeah, Steve sighed, a heavy tinge of regret clinging to his words. Yeah. You got through it, though. Want to tell me your secret? I so want to say casual sex with a stranger here. It's just right there, low-hanging fruit. You really need to make me work harder for these, Tony said, drawing a startled laugh from Steve. Sorry, Steve said, shaking his head. I'll try to make it harder for you. Steve, seriously, you're killing me with this, Tony groaned. And Steve really did laugh then, laughed so much he thought he might not be able to stop for a second, might just keep on laughing until he was sobbing. But he finally caught his breath, finding Tony watching him with a cautious, slightly nonplussed look, as if he wasn't quite sure how to react. Sorry. I didn't mean that, Steve laughed. You know, I haven't laughed this much, and I don't know when, he admitted. A long time. Maybe I'm losing it a little. We all need to lose it a little sometimes, Tony said. Go slightly mad. It's good for the soul. Makes you look at the world a bit differently. Well, I'm definitely doing that, Steve assured him. He paused, mouth flattening. You know, the funny thing is, Brock will probably find someone in a couple of months and end up marrying them. That's what happens, isn't it? They say they aren't ready to get married, but what they mean is they aren't ready to marry you. Then boom, they meet someone and suddenly it's all fine. I was just the placeholder. That's what it's called. Not with him, I get it. He's a dick, but still, he's going to go live his life, be happy, find someone, and I'm... He broke off, glancing over at Tony with a slight frown. Have you found someone? After the dumbass, I mean. Not yet, Tony said simply, then dropped his gaze, then lifted it and plastered on a smile that didn't reach his eyes. Trust issues. I'll bet, Steve snorted in agreement. You'll find someone, though, Tony assured him. Maybe, I don't know, Steve said, his voice tight around the words like his throat wanted to close around them. Steve, I promise you, that asshat who didn't deserve 2 seconds of your attention will not be the last man you ever love, Tony told him, his eyes unwavering as he regarded Steve, his expression soft, almost wistful, Steve thought. Steve turned back to the window, unable to muster a reply to that. He swallowed hard past the lump in his throat. "That's Bucky's place up on the corner," he said quietly. He turned back to Tony. "Thanks again for the ride and the check. I'm just everything. Really, Tony, thank you. This was, well, it was pretty great of you." "Call it making up for past mistakes," Tony replied obliquely, then gave him a smile that didn't quite meet his eyes. His expression narrowed, and he cast a sideways look at Steve. "You are ditching your dumbass, right? Terrible ending, you taking him back. I'd probably never bother to insert myself into a private moment of terrible humiliation ever again." "We can't have that," Steve agreed. "Exactly, you get it." Tony grinned. Genuinely, this time, Steve noticed. He was getting better at reading Tony's smiles, which, not that he needed to read Tony's smiles, he didn't, obviously. Tony just had a really nice smile when it warmed his eyes, like, "Nope." Steve cleared his throat. "I swear," Steve laughed, holding up his hands. "Dumbass is ditched." The car slid smoothly up to the curb in front of Bucky's apartment building. "This is me," Steve said. "So it is," Tony remarked, glancing up at the building before angling his gaze back towards Steve. "I guess this is good night then," Steve said, his brow pulling together slightly. "Looks that way," Tony agreed. It hit Steve then, with a sharp stab of something like pain? No, regret. That he would likely never see Tony again. This was it, this one crazy night. Maybe that was how it should be, he thought to himself. Tonight had this mad, magical quality to it, falling down a rabbit hole kind of thing going on, and maybe it was better to leave it at that. "Here," Tony said, pulling a card out of the inside pocket of his suit jacket. He held it out for Steve. It was red, slightly shiny, made of some kind of lightweight metal, it seemed, and embossed only with a phone number. "I'm available for emergency dinner interruptions from 7 to 10, except Tuesdays, which are reserved for Love Island." "Oh," Steve replied. "Steve, I'm kidding," Tony smiled, letting out a low laugh. "Seriously, if you need anything, call." Thanks, Tony. That's really nice of you," Steve said, looking down at the card in his hand. He realized he was still holding Brock's note in his hand, its slightly wrinkled text now laying atop Tony's card, in what Steve couldn't help but notice was quite the juxtaposition. Brock's hurtful, mocking message and Tony's offer of kindness. And well, each said a lot about the men behind them, didn't they? Steve reached for the door handle, then paused and looked back at Tony. He started to say something, then choked back the pointless words. He wasn't sure what he even wanted to say. It was too soon to even think. And he wasn't even technically broken up with Brock, and someone like Tony was certainly not interested in someone like him. Tony was just being nice, because that was the kind of person Tony was. Steve shouldn't take it for something it wasn't, just because he felt like shit earlier, and Tony made him feel different. He gave his head a quick shake, then managed a flat smile for Tony. "Most people, they wouldn't do this or anything like this. Because I get that you have, that it's not such a big deal to you, but it is to me. Most people wouldn't have even stopped back there at the restaurant. They'd have just looked the other way, I guess. I just wanted to say That was really, really great of you, and it means a lot, okay? That someone cared right then. It means a lot," Steve husked out in a voice thick with emotion, the words tumbling out seemingly on their own. I hope you find someone, Tony. Someone who deserves you. You should have someone who appreciates how great you are. Don't settle, okay? No more dumbasses." Tony was quiet for a long moment. So quiet and intent on Steve that Steve felt a bit like one of those bugs pinned to a board for display. Tony started to say something, then swiped a hand over his mouth, taking the words with him.
Finally, he smiled, his expression softening into something like amusement, though there was a fondness to it, and no sense of mocking, the way Steve half expected after his round of word vomit. "No more dumbasses," Tony agreed, the corners of his mouth lifting up. "Cross my heart." Next to Steve, the door opened, and Tony's driver stood outside waiting. "You take care of yourself, okay?" Steve said as he got out. "Always do," Tony replied. Steve stopped halfway out of the car and turned back. "Why do I feel like that's a giant lie?" "Oh, it's definitely a giant lie," the driver said. Sorry, boss," he added with a shrug, seemingly unconcerned by Tony's annoyed grimace. Steve chuckled, then said, "Well, find someone who helps you figure out how to do that, would you?" "In my defense, I am trying," Tony replied, with a rather exasperated toss of his hands. "Fair enough," Steve said, and finished crawling out of the car. He thanked the driver for the ride, then turned and waved once awkwardly at Tony, before the driver shut the door and Steve had no choice but to walk around the back of the car to the sidewalk outside Bucky's building. There were still plenty of people milling about on the sidewalk. It was New York. Most of them were now gawking at the car as it pulled away. A few had their phones out, trained on the car, then on him. Steve frowned and turned to watch the car as it drove off. Sure, it was a nice car. A very nice car. Probably cost more than Steve would see in a decade, but it wasn't as if people around here never saw fancy cars. Usually New Yorkers were too jaded to care about. Wait. Steve squinted. It was far away now and dark despite the lights from the shop windows, but Stark 4. Oh. Oh, shit. For a second, the thought that this was all part of the prank, too, flitted through his head. But no, of course not. That made no sense. Tony Stark. Tony Stark. Of course it all sort of slotted into place in his head as he stood there, mouth agape, probably looking like the village's lost idiot. Tony was Tony Stark. Tony Stark, who had almost gotten married a couple of years ago. But it got called off in some whispered scandal, according to all the gossip rags. Stark Industries stock took a hit afterwards. Steve remembered a TV at the gym with that guy screaming about it while a ticker tape of stocks and prices ran underneath. He hadn't really paid attention because, well, why would he? Tony was Tony Stark. One of the richest men in the world. A titan of industry. Supposedly some kind of actual genius and someone who helped random people who got humiliated by their dumbass boyfriends? None of this made sense. Horrified, he looked down at the red card still clutched in his hand. This was Tony Stark's phone number. He had Tony Stark's personal phone number. Wow. Okay. Steve took a deep breath. That was... He let out a huff of a laugh that was part shock, part embarrassment, part... Was that disappointment? Why was he disappointed? It didn't matter who Tony was. Tony had helped him tonight, and that was all that mattered. He was grateful, just surprised, that was all. It didn't really matter who Tony was, or the fact that he was not just a little out of Steve's league, but out of Steve's whole orbit. That didn't factor into this at all, because Tony was just a very nice man who helped someone out, and Steve was... He was in an emotional place and not thinking clearly. That's what he was, he told himself firmly. Glancing around, Steve realized he was suddenly the object of the crowd's speculative glances. "How'd you know Stark?" a burly man in a bulky Jets coat asked. I don't," Steve replied quickly. He could feel his cheeks heat at the question. Not that he had any reason to be embarrassed about anything. It wasn't like he'd actually been out with Tony. It hadn't been like that at all. Sure, some light flirting, maybe. But he suspected Tony was probably just like that with everyone. "I so want to say casual sex with a stranger here," Steve's mind supplied, entirely unhelpfully. That hadn't been a proposition, Steve didn't think. Wait. Had it? No, of course not. That was ridiculous. Someone like Tony Stark, for crying out loud. Tony Stark would not be interested in him. And even if Steve had been looking for some kind of one-night stand thing, revenge against Brock or whatever good decision-making was behind that impulse, he was oddly certain that Tony wasn't looking for something like that. Which was weird, because Steve was at least somewhat aware of the man's reputation. He just wasn't sure how much of that was actually true now that he'd met Tony. At least not true anymore. No one looking for a quickie spent that much time being amazing. Steve swallowed hard, brows pulling together in a confused frown. Uh-huh, sure. The woman next to him laughed, her voice exaggerated with disbelief. He don't know Stark, just riding around in his car. Come on, cutie, no judgment here. We'd all do it, am I right? She snickered. I would, a woman of at least 70, pulling a grocery cart full of what looked like cat food behind her, piped up. Excuse me, Steve said brusquely, pausing long enough to crush Brock's message into a tiny ball and toss it into a nearby trash can, currently overflowing with the day's garbage, as he brushed through the crowd to get to Bucky's stoop. It felt cathartic, watching it land on the heap of cans, bottles, food, paper, and everything else that was tossed aside as useless waste. That was where it belonged, where Brock belonged, Steve thought snidely, with the rest of the garbage. He punched in the code he knew by heart, and a moment later ducked into the building as the door buzzed open. His head was still spinning, even after the rush up the 6 flights to Bucky's apartment. He still thought the sprawling walk-up as Bucky's, since he grew up there, bless rent control, though technically now Nat lived there too, along with Sam and Thor. Steve knocked on the door, and a moment later Bucky threw it open, his face a study in surprise. Steve? Bucky said. We broke up, Steve told him by way of explanation. Nice, Bucky deadpanned, stepping back. Steve broke up with the asshat, he shouted over his shoulder to a sudden round of whoops from the apartment. My man, Bucky continued, nodding. About time. I know, Steve sighed, letting Bucky usher him in. You need to couch surf for a while? Bucky asked. If it's okay, Steve replied. I don't want to be a problem. Dude, Bucky said, shooting him an affronted glare. I knew you'd come to your senses, Nat said as she wrapped Steve up in a hug and patted his back. She smiled up at him. James was ready to get a raiding party together. Just a little clockwork, orange-style reprogramming between friends, Bucky said, coming up behind him to clap Steve on the shoulder, giving him something between a hug and a good shake. Thanks, Steve offered bemusedly. Steven! I am very pleased to hear you have decided to cease your association with that man, my friend. Because he was, yes, an asshat, I fear, and not very good for you, not at all, no. You can do far better, I feel, Thor announced, getting out of the Barca lounger where he was playing Call of Duty to come over and shake Steve's hand in welcome. And now you are here, and we should have a celebration, yes? Thanks, Thor, and no, I don't need a party. Just a place to crash, Steve said dryly, shaking his hand, then letting Thor pull him into an affectionate shoulder bump. Did I hear there are to be revels? Sam asked, coming around the corner from the kitchen. I did not say revels this time. I said celebration, which is a perfectly normal word, I'm told, Thor said, giving Sam a look. No revels, Steve laughed. Really, it's been a night. I'd honestly just like to chill and figure out how to get my stuff. He let Thor pull him over to the sofa, where he sat down looking up at a sea of expectant faces, all with pinched, careful sorts of expressions. Raiding party is back on the menu, boys, Bucky called out. Come on, give over. You know Nat will get it out of you. Then she'll tell me, and I have to have someone to talk to, so I'll tell Sam. Then Thor will feel left out. This is true, I will. It always happens thusly, Thor agreed. Steve rolled his eyes. Fine, he sighed, and spent the next few minutes trying to give them the gist of what happened. We had a fight over dinner about where the relationship was headed, without actually admitting to the horrible prank. answer their questions and keep everything to do with Tony out of the retelling. So that's it, really, Steve finished, glancing around, his nerves jangling. Uh-huh, Bucky said, frowning, though to his credit he didn't push it. We're just glad you're done with him, Nat said pointedly, bless her. Yeah, Bucky echoed firmly. That's what matters. We all know that was bullshit, though, right? I mean, we definitely all know that, Sam said. Sam, Nat shot him a look. Just saying, Sam shrugged. But he, too, seemed willing to let it go. Seriously, though, good on you, Steve. We got you, man, you know that. I know, thanks, really, all of you. Thank you. Just sorry I didn't figure it all out sooner, Steve told them, regret making his voice tight. If you would but let us make your decisions, Stephen, this would all go far better for you, Thor announced in a cheery tone. Thanks, Thor. I'll think on that, Steve smiled, shooting a small laugh at Bucky, who tipped the top of his beer bottle at Steve in salute. They all turned to a key opening the door and Clint walking in. That key's for emergencies, Nat called out, her voice mild. This is an emergency, Clint told them. Did you guys see Tony Stark's car outside the building? Nah, man, come on, no way, Bucky protested. I swear it was. Some kind of fancy Eurocar thing and license plate said Stark, Clint gushed, helping himself to a beer from the fridge before plopping down on the couch next to Steve. Hey, man, good to see ya. He broke up with the asshat, Sam said. Thank fuck, Clint replied. So, just so we're clear, everyone thought Brock was an asshat? Steve asked, glancing around. Yes, Bucky said, at the same time Sam chimed in. He sucked, bro. And Thor with, oh yes, we all quite despised him, I'm afraid. We spoke about it at length many times. While Nat just raised her brows and gave Steve a look. Fine, Steve said. Could have said so, he muttered. We did say so. They all said in unison. Okay, okay, Steve held up his hands in surrender. What did he do to get you brassed off enough to call it quits? Bucky asked. Can we go back to Tony Stark's car being in front of our building? Clint asked. Myra and Two said some cute guy got out of it. He waggled his eyebrows. I'm just saying. If someone in this building is playing sugar baby to Tony Stark, I want them to teach me their ways. Because that's some kind of major voodoo. Haven't you been dating Laura for like a year? Steve asked quickly, trying to change the subject. She'd murder me if I didn't take a hall pass for Tony Stark, he said, pausing and scrunching his face in seeming consideration. I know. Definitely going to marry her. Clint smiled, taking a sip of his beer. Clint's words, his certainty after just a year, geez. It just sort of stirred everything up in Steve's head again, and he looked down, realizing he still had Tony's card in his hand. He moved to put it in his pocket, but Clint nudged his shoulder. What's that? He asked, plucking the card from Steve's fingers. Woo, fancy. What is this? Some kind of weird promotional gimmick? Like that I hate Steven whatever thing? Doesn't even have a name. It's nothing, Steve replied quickly, reaching for the card. Ooh, Clint frowned. Something tells me it's definitely not nothing. Spill, Rogers, you're a terrible liar. It's just a business card from a friend, Steve stammered. Oh yeah, you're definitely bad at that, Sam observed, frowning. A knock at the door made all their heads swivel. Then they looked back and forth between each other. Everyone I know is here, Bucky said. Then shrugged, set his beer down, and headed for the door. Steve turned, trying to see over the back of the sofa, but ended up having his view mostly blocked. Who is that? Nat asked when Bucky came back carrying a paper bag. Did someone order delivery? It's ice cream, Bucky said slowly, putting the bag down on the counter and pivoting back towards the living room, his eyes on Steve, a confused expression on his face. From Eddie's. Oh, I love that place, Nat pounced. Gimme. No, no, Bucky said, holding up a hand, his mouth forming a small, flat smile, like he was trying to be serious and not laugh. This is for Steve. Says so right here on the card. As if one hive mind, everyone turned to look at Steve.
Me?
Steve frowned, drawing back in confusion. Yes, to Steve. Remember no more dumbasses from T.S., Bucky read from the note stapled to the bag.
T.S.?
Thor repeated.
No, Clint gasped. Steve, you dog!
Holy shit, Sam gasped out around a grin, rubbing his hand over his chin. He pointed at Steve.
My man, yeah.
Something you want to share with the class, Steve? Bucky asked, his brow raised comically high.
Not especially, but I suspect that's not going to matter, Steve replied with a deep sigh.
Wait, so you broke up with Brock tonight. You're the cute guy getting out of Tony Stark's car, and now Tony Stark is sending you ice cream and little notes telling you not to date dumbasses, Clint said, ticking each statement off on his fingers, then flicking the red card he was holding up between his thumb and forefinger. And you got this fancy card with a phone number on it.
It's not like you make it sound, really. He just...
Steve glanced around helplessly. He saw me and Brock fight, and then... Then Brock stormed off, and there was the check.
Oh, so he paid for dinner, too. Uh-huh. Keep going about how this isn't what it sounds like. Because it sounds like you just had a meet-cute with Tony Stark, and for some reason you are here and not jumping up and down like a coked-out monkey on pogo sticks, Clint shouted at him, waving the red card in Steve's face, like any rational human being would be.
Would you just... Steve started, jaw grinding in frustration.
Clint, here, Bucky called out, leaning forward behind the sofa, while Clint stretched his hand over his head and handed Bucky the card.
Bucky, no, come on, Steve yelled, starting to get up, but Clint immediately threw himself on top of Steve and pinned him to the sofa.
Would you get off? Steve demanded.
No, Clint said. Steve shoved him, sending him rolling to the floor between the couch and the coffee table. Steve scrambled up in a tangle of his legs and Clint's body while Clint grabbed for Steve's knees. Across the room, Bucky had his phone in his hand.
Don't you dare, Steve shouted, pointing at Bucky.
Buck, he was just being nice. Don't make this weird, Steve hissed, trying to shake Clint off of him.
Too late, Sam muttered.
This is for your own good, Stevie, trust me, Bucky said.
Indeed, as I said earlier, you really should allow us to make your decisions, Stephen. This Tony Stark person seems very interested in you, and you are newly single after all, Thor pointed out agreeably from his Barca lounger.
As of tonight, Steve retorted, and it's Tony Stark, guys, come on. He's not interested in someone like me, okay? So can you just please stop? This is ridiculous. There is no way Tony would ever...
With someone like me, I mean, we're in totally different worlds, and...
Oh, it's like that, huh? Sam said.
Like what? Steve demanded, swiping a hand at Clint as he half-heartedly tried to grab at Steve's calf, shooting him a glare.
You called him Tony, Nat pointed out.
That's his name, Steve snapped back.
Natasha grinned at him, raising one perfect brow.
You think he's gorgeous. You want to kiss him. You want to hug him, she sing-songed.
Oh, she's bringing early 2000s rom-coms into this. It's getting serious, Bucky said, puckering his lips and tutting at Steve.
Honestly, I wasn't even really going to do anything, just mess with you. But you're definitely into him, so...
Gonna have to handle this, Stevie. Sorry.
Don't call that number, Steve ordered, lurching forward and extricating himself from Clint, only to find Natasha blocking his way around the sofa.
Going somewhere, soldier? She asked with a small smile.
I'm dialing, Bucky told him.
Buck, Steve shouted.
Nat, please move.
You can try to move me, she suggested.
I like my balls where they are, thanks, Steve replied.
It's ringing, Bucky's shout whispered. Steve fainted to one side, then planted one foot on the sofa and jumped over the back, reaching out for Bucky, who dodged long enough to toss the phone to Sam.
Yeah, hello, sorry, Sam said into the phone.
Sam, Steve called out, hang up.
Mr. Stark, Yes, hello. This is Steve's friend, Sam, Sam was saying. He got the ice cream and thought that was real sweet. And all you did for him tonight, he's real grateful and all. Steve managed to slough Bucky off of him long enough to make it over to Sam, who put the kitchen table between them, forcing Steve to make a move around one corner and give chase. Here, Bucky said, and Sam handed the phone off to him just as Steve managed to grab his shoulder. Bucky twisted away, darting behind Thor's chair. Hi, yes, this is Steve's other friend, James, Bucky said into the phone. Technically his best friend. Really? Sam said, giving Bucky a look. Bucky dropped the phone to his chest and covered the speaker with his hand. Sometimes I'm insecure, okay? He said, sighing dramatically. I hate you, Sam replied, shaking his head. Yeah, so, huh? Bucky paused. Oh, yeah, I'm the Bucky, he continued, making a humming sound. Uh-huh, he's here. Pause. I know, right? What a dick. We kept trying to. Anyway, Bucky jerked away as Steve reached over where Thor was sitting, trying to grab the phone out of his hands. But come on, Steve begged. This is for your own good, Bucky hissed at him, covering the phone speaker with his hand. You'd never do anything, and you know it. Now hush. Ask Stark if he can send a pizza, Clint called out from the floor. What? I'm hungry. Anyway, Bucky said into the phone, Steve is a really great guy, see? Oh, uh-huh, Bucky nodded, holding up his hand at Steve and shooting him a firm glare that implied Steve should stay on the other side of the recliner. You could tell he's a great guy, Bucky repeated, grinning like a Cheshire cat of Steve. Yeah, well, he is, but see, he's a bit on the shy side and doesn't always get with the hints, you know? Even the really super obvious ones, Bucky added, rolling his hand over and over in the air at Steve. There were no hints, Steve protested. Dude, how have you ever been laid? Sam asked. I'm assuming there was a PowerPoint involved. Was there a PowerPoint involved? There was no PowerPoint, Steve snapped back at him. Would it have helped? Sam asked. Shut up, Steve said. Come on, Buck, this is insane. You're bugging this poor guy, who I'm sure has a thousand things he needs to be doing right now that aren't talking to some random guy's best friend trying to set him up. Say you're sorry for bothering him and hang up. Yeah, you know? He was just saying what a good time you had tonight and how nice and all you were about things, Bucky continued. Bucky, Steve groaned. Yeah, he's free Friday. Dinner at an Italian place, you know. Uh-huh. Yeah, he can do that, Bucky continued. 7? You'll pick him up. Okay, yeah. Uh-huh. That sounds great. He's really looking forward to it. Wait, what? Bucky? Steve stuttered. Bucky smiled at him and did a little dance in place. Clint shot a thumbs up into the air from his position on the floor. There you are, Stephen. You see it is well handled. Thor nodded up at him. So should he wear, like, something sexy, or... Bucky started. Steve launched himself over Thor and grabbed at the phone, sending it skittering across the floor. He rolled off the chair and dived for it before Bucky could get to it, though. To be fair, Bucky was just standing there, smirking at him. Hey. Hey, this is Steve. Steve said breathlessly into the phone. Sorry. Sorry about that. My friends, they kind of figured out who you were, and well... I figured out who you were when you drove away, but I guess they thought. He stopped, scraping a hand through his hair, and looked over at the rest of them. They all gave silent, encouraging cheers, which made Steve roll his eyes, mouth flattening with frustration. He looked down at his feet. Fear, nervousness, embarrassed horror at the whole situation, and a wild, giddy kind of excitement all tumbled around his stomach, making it lurch. They thought I should stop dating dumbasses too, I guess. Steve finished finally, letting out an exhale. And that I'm an idiot who may have missed a few clues tonight. To be fair, Bambi, you missed like 20 clues tonight, Tony said, his voice warm and fond and full of amusement. Oh, Steve laughed nervously. Sorry, I... He broke off, shaking his head and turning away from the room full of knowing expressions. Ask me for my Venmo again and I may swoon, Tony said. You could have told me who you were, Steve accused, in a light, teasing voice. Where's the fun in that? Tony asked. Besides, it was kind of nice to not have to be that guy tonight. Everyone wants that guy, but it's a lot sometimes. I kind of like the guy I met tonight, Steve told him, hushing his voice and turning away from watchful, smirking faces. Ah, the group behind him echoed. Bet that was on the PowerPoint, Sam loud whispered, only to get shushed by Bucky. There was a long moment of silence on the phone, where Steve thought maybe the connection cut, but then Tony said, good thing, because the guy you met tonight liked you too. Steve cleared his throat. So, are we really on for Friday night? Only if you want to, Tony replied, then more gently. I'm really not trying to push you here. This is kind of textbook too soon, I get it. No, I mean, yes, I want to, Steve stammered. I really do. He ground one shoe into the carpet, then glanced over his shoulder. Thor grinned and gave him two thumbs up. Nat grinned. Bucky and Sam made a silent but extremely elaborate high five. Steve sucked in a breath of surrender and smiled placidly back at them. I look forward to it, Tony said. Me too, Steve smiled, wide and full, warmth blooming in his chest. He was going on a date with Tony, who was smart and funny and kind and amazing. I can't believe how this night is ending after how it started. Doesn't seem real. I keep thinking I'll wake up or something. What your ex-dumbass did was beyond cruel, but hey, Tony said, his voice slightly rough. Joke's on him after all. I get you. The end.